Good morning. I want to thank the men of the church for letting me do this. It wasn't easy putting this together. I had struggled between three different sermons that I was going to do, and I started two of them, and this just came out of it. My aim for the first two sermons was more towards an explanation of the church and the things that were going on, but the underlying principle of it was to talk to the youth, myself included, of course. And I felt there was no better way to do that than to look in Proverbs chapter 1. So that's predominantly what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to flip around through Proverbs and even a little bit into Genesis, but mostly I'll be sitting in Proverbs and even a little bit in Psalms. Solomon was a wise, wise man, and he had, in his time, he had much wealth and much knowledge, and we can see that through his writings. And when I was reading through Proverbs chapter 1, I thought it was a great chapter because it begins the teachings of the rest of the Proverbs and all the things that that Solomon was trying to get to his sons, and it really, the knowledge passes down to those who are even a little bit older too, but it's geared towards his sons, and I didn't forget the ladies either. I know that the whole first chapter is for the guys, but I found a chapter for the women also, so we'll touch upon that at a certain time. But if you would, read with me the first seven verses of Proverbs chapter 1. And it begins, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know the wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equality, to give prudence to the naive, to the young, knowledge and discretion, to the wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel, to understand the proverbs and figure the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now we're going to focus on the first seven verses right at this point here. And I want to start in the second verse where it says, "To know the wisdom and instruction." Now I put here, as a side note for myself, how do I gain wisdom? Well, if you look with me over in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33, he gives a little bit more of an instruction on that. And it says there, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor comes humility." Now, humility is a word that, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward word, but some people may have a little bit different approach to it than others, and I think that it's good to take a biblical approach to humility. So I went a little further on the explanation of how to gain wisdom and wanted to define more of what humility is. And if you look in Proverbs chapter 6 and in the first five verses, again he gives instruction to his sons. And he says here, as the heading for this, it says parental counsel. And it's sort of the idea behind what he's saying here. Now it says, "My son, if you have become surety of your neighbor, have given a pledge for a stranger, if you have been snared with the words of your mouth, have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself. Since you have come into the hands of your neighbor, go humble yourself and implore your neighbor. Give no sleep to your eyelids, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, and like a bird from the hand of a fowl." Now, he gives an image here of a gazelle in the hunter's hands or a fowl in the bird's hands. Now, if you're a good hunter, you're a good and strong hunter, then a gazelle or a fowl, there's not much to you to be able to subdue and you know, cook up for some food. And Solomon's giving a similar sort of idea here. He's saying, go, you know, the gazelle is nothing to the hunter, and the fowl is nothing to the hunter either, so go as if nothing to your neighbor. Humble yourself before him, and as if you can do nothing else but humble yourself before him, like as if he has everything above you, and all you can do is humble yourself, because when you are in sin, that's exactly how it is. I mean, you're in wrong, you're in against God, and if we don't humble ourselves before God, as it says here, to humble yourself before a neighbor, we can end up the same way as a gazelle or a fowl. We can be dead spiritually. So we have to make sure that we're humble, as the scriptures say, whenever we have done a wrong like this, and go to our neighbor, and everyone to a Christian is a neighbor, both domestic and in the world sense, but anytime that happens, you know, humble yourself before them and say, you know, I've done wrong, ask for forgiveness, and you'll be strengthened in that. And you will be able to acquire all the things that he says here of wisdom and understanding and instruction. Now, the next one I look at is to discern the sayings of understanding. Now, if you look with me in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Hear, O son, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding." That's pretty straightforward. It's saying, listen to your father. Now, I understand that some, including myself here, have may have a father who is not in the church, and I understand that. And you know, this could be taken out of context and saying, "Well, it says to listen to my father, so my father tells me to go and steal something, I should do it." Well, no, that's not true at all. That's where the clause comes in. You know, anytime it's against the word of God, you don't do it. You're to honor them in every other aspect, but anytime it's against the word of God. And we must remember that, because through that we can gain understanding of the word and gain wisdom and instruction. So let's go on here and go to verse 3. And it says, to receive instruction and wise behavior. Now, if you look with me in Proverbs 19 and verse 20, it gives a little bit more to that, how to receive instruction and gain wise behavior. Listen to the counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Now, the key word there is listen and discipline. Now, I know, even at my age, it's hard sometimes to listen to the discipline and the counsel of your parents. But young, old, it really doesn't matter. If your parents are still here, you're still to listen to them. You know, if they were in, as I said before, the clause is if they're going against the word of God. But if they're keeping with the word of God, then you are to listen to them and all that they tell you to do. Because it, in the end, it's going to benefit you. You know, it's wise because it's going to teach you the things that you need to know for whenever you're in the world. Or if you're older and your parents are still around, they remind you of certain things that you may have forgotten at times. Just as Brother Harold was talking about this morning in Deuteronomy, how Abraham was reminding the Israelites of the law again. You know, some of them may have been old enough and had kids of their own, but Abraham was a leader to them. He was like a father to all of them. And so, you know, he guided them in that way. And they still listened to the instructions of him. So I'm getting a little off here. Alright, so let's go on here. And righteousness, justice, and equality would be the next three that he gives for what discernment can do. And if you look in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, he gives a little more instruction on that. And it says, "If my son, if you receive your words and treasure my commandments with you, make your ears attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, and search her as for hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, for from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the path of justice, and he preserves the way of the godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice." So we see all the things that Solomon lists here in Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 1 through 9 are what we need in order to have righteousness and justice. And if, in essence, he's saying, if you stay in these ways, if you stay in God's word, if you study it, if you understand it, and if you apply it, righteousness and justice will always be on your side. And that's something that we need to remember, even in the days of our youth, that we always need to be striving after and keeping with the righteousness of justice and not worrying so much about the world and what it's teaching. Because it is that some in the world believe we are evolving species. And in a way, I agree with that. Because it seems more and more, as I look in the news and I follow some science and other things, it seems more and more they're getting to the point where they're understanding that maybe they're wrong. Maybe archaeology isn't quite as old as we think it is. And in that way, we're evolving. We're understanding that we're fallible, and that maybe the Word of God does teach a little bit more and is a little truer than some in the world believe. So, and it seems the more that they figure this out, the more they come back towards what the Bible teaches, and it gives them a little more understanding and righteousness. Understanding anyway. I wouldn't say righteousness, but all right. In verse 4, he gives a little more about keeping the word of the Lord and striving after the things above, righteousness, justice, and equality, will do. This says, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. To the wise man will hear it and increase in learning. So we see we think of a wise man, we think of someone old with a long beard and a little older gentleman, not necessarily with a long beard, but someone older and more learned than the youth. But even here, Solomon says a wise man will hear an increase in the learning. So he's saying, even in this, even though he's writing this to his son, and he specifically puts it down in other proverbs there, it still applies to even those older. Whether you be my age or older than me, we still see that this can be of good benefit to all of us. And going on in verse 5, a wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel to understand the proverbs and figure the words of the wise and their riddles. Now, verse 7 is where I want to focus most on it for this next one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, for fools despise wisdom and understanding. Now, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And if you would, turn with me to Psalm 119 in verse 9. This is one, this is one that a lot of the youth needs to remember, including myself. I'm not, anything that I say the youth needs to remember, I'm talking about myself also. Now, it says in 119 and verse 9, "How can a man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." And that goes even to the women, even though it says, "How can a man?" It goes even to the women that by keeping it according to his word, keeping his commandments, keeping all the things that he has taught us, we can stay in all the other things that we've touched upon: humility, righteousness, justice, and even wisdom. For it's all here. And we know from Solomon that he grew much in wisdom, and he obviously had much wisdom in the things that he wrote throughout the Proverbs. I mean, he has an entire book of Proverbs and other books after that that he had written, and we can see the wise and intelligent things that he's put into this. And we have to see that as an example to us, that we must listen to these things also, that we may gain this similar wisdom and righteousness. And if we go on in verses 8 and 9, now this is where he gives heed to parental instruction, and he tells the youth to always listen and hear their father's instructions and their mother's teachings. In verse 8 it says, "Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and an ornament around your neck." Now I know some youth maybe say, "Well, what do I need a wreath around my head and an ornament around my neck?" Well, if I put that in today's understanding, I guess, or in today's physical things, it would be like a gold medal or a letter in track, the things that he's talking about. You know, and if we think about those things, what does a gold medal represent? If you think about the Olympics, they're coming up soon. And these medalists, they go for years practicing whatever it is, whether it be swimming, whether it be running, whether it be track and any type of track and field, jumping, high jumping, pole vaulting, whatever it may be. They go for years practicing and practicing and practicing and getting it right and listening to their coach and training their physical bodies. And the same can be applied to this. Now, in order to get that gold medal, and you know, Paul talks about this in his writings as running the race, finishing the course, and he has laid up for him a crown of righteousness. And the same can be applied here, because we can receive that crown of righteousness or that gold medal or that letter in track, just to put it in a worldly perspective, by doing all the things that we're given here, especially not forsaking our mother's teachings or our father's instructions. Again, if they are in the Word of God, which most of the children's parents are here today, if they're in the Word of God, you're to listen to them, because it's going to help you later on in the world. It may not seem that way. I mean, I know when I was 14, 15 years old, things my mom said didn't seem to matter. You know, I was going to school, you know, you have to get good grades, you have to do... And it wasn't necessarily because of the grades. I mean, the grades came because of what she was teaching me, but it wasn't just to get good grades. It was to teach me things that I needed to know whenever I got out into the world or went to college. Good study habits. You know, being able to focus in class, take good notes, things like that. They taught me that later on. And when I was in high school, I didn't see that. But when I got to college, it was right there in front of my face. I knew that I had to go. I mean, I didn't have to go to class, you know. But, you know, there was no truant officer making me go to class. There was nothing that says I had to go. But if I wanted to make a living for myself and I wanted to go somewhere with my life, I needed to do these things. And the same is true here for understanding in life outside of just education. Because your parents teach you things that keep you away from situations that may end you up in jail. They may end you up in a juvie hall. And I've seen kids in juvie halls, and trust me, you don't want to be like one of those. I mean, you know, God loves all, you know, loves his people, but these youth, it's a sad story. They have many sad stories that I've heard because parents that weren't there, you know, parents didn't care, parents kicked them out of the house when they were very young. And everyone here is blessed to have parents who are in the church and who teach them the right things, because when you get out into the world, when you get a job and when you get a career, and even though that may not seem too close now, it's going to be here. And if you've listened to your parents' instructions, you'll be much better off than the rest of the world who didn't. And that's what Solomon's trying to say, and I say it over and over again, but it's for a good reason. I mean, that's exactly what Solomon's trying to say here. He's giving instruction to those who are young, and he's saying, don't spend away your youth. I mean, you've heard it said that the youth is wasted on the young. And sometimes that's true, because, you know, they don't have the wisdom and knowledge that the older people do, and they think, well, you know, if I had that knowledge when I was young, then things would be much better. Well, there's a reason for these things, but we need to, as youth, we need to realize that we need to listen and take this instruction and apply it, so that when we get older, maybe we won't have to say, well, if I knew what I knew when I was younger, maybe I wouldn't have done all those things, because you've listened to your parents and you wouldn't have to do that. Now, none of us are perfect, so we are going to make mistakes, even in our youth, and even now, you know, if you're older than what we consider youth. You'll be much better off if you listen to your parents and listen to the instructions that they give you, and keep away from the things that you know, that they know, and you may know too, that are wrong, and stay away from those things. Now I want to go on here and go to verse 10. And this point through 10 through 19 is a warning against the company of evil people. And we need to remember, young, old, you know, male or female, we need to remember this, as well as the other things, but especially these things, so not to take us away from the church. It says in verse 10, "My son, if a sinner entices you, do not consent." Now, I was trying to find an example of an enticement, and we may think of the snake in the garden and Adam and Eve, and that is a very good picture of enticement, but I want to look in Genesis chapter 39 and verses 7 through 10. This may give a little bit, may get a little more focused, my homebound, I should say, hit a little more closer to home than talking to a snake in a garden. Now, it says in verse 7, it came about after these events, that these events would be Joseph getting into power, and that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he puts all that he owes in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to lie with her. Now, enticement may not be quite the same as this one, but it's the same idea. Whether it be, you know, you have a bunch of friends and you get together on a Friday, and instead of just, you know, hanging out at the house playing video games or whatnot, they want to go and drink. You know, let's say you're not over 21 and it's illegal, but they know somebody. That kind of enticement could come on quickly. And it was quickly for Joseph. You know, she just, the first time, she said, "Hey, come lie with me." And that was, you know, Joseph had to make a decision there. And, you know, he kept having to make that decision. As it says, day in and day out, she kept doing this. And day in and day out, you can, as a youth, you know, you go into high school, and there may be people going in the bathrooms. And, you know, it used to be, from what I understand, they go in the bathrooms and smoke. Now, they go in the bathrooms and smoke, but it's a completely different substance. And I've seen news clippings of places where kids have gotten caught doing that in the bathrooms and such. And you know, you may come into contact with that. You know, I mean, it doesn't take much and it doesn't take long. You know, you may not even see it coming, but in some point in your life, you know, whether young or younger or my age or a little bit older than me, you know, a little bit older may not have that same problem, but younger and my age, they will. I mean, you will be faced with those times where, even though you're trying to keep yourself out of other places that are of reproach and bad places to go, where you know that might be, there's still a chance that you can see that somewhere, and someone might entice you to try and do it. And it may not even be drugs, it may be something else. But we have to always be prepared and always have these things in mind and keep in mind the teachings of our Father, the teachings of our Mother, and the Word of God. All right, now we'll go through the rest of this quickly. And in verse 11 it says, "If they say, 'Come with us, let lie, and wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without cause, let us swallow them alive like Shiloh, even whole as those who go down to the pit, we will find all kinds of precious wealth, we will fill our houses with spoil, throw in your lots with us, we shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the ways with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the bait net in the sight of any bird. But if they lie in wait for the blood, for their own blood, they ambush their own lives." Now in verse 19, it says, "So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessor." Now, it takes away the life of its possessor. Does that mean they instantly die when they do this? No. Fortunately, that's not the case. Because if it was, many of us, myself included, would be less than here. So, what it's saying is, it takes away the life, meaning it spiritually. It can take away their life spiritually. And sometimes it can be of a physical form too, depending on what they're doing, especially if they're trying to gain by violence and kill. But we can take this in another way and look at it as a spiritual life. And the things that we do, if we lie in wait, if we purposefully put something together, some kind of scheme or something, to set somebody up to fall or to be harmed in any way. You know, it says, everyone who gains by violence, it takes away the life of its possessor. And it certainly could. In a physical way, we could go to jail, or if nothing else, in a spiritual way, if God's merciful to us. And, well, not merciful, but doesn't spares our life, that we may repent of that sin at some point. Now, is it just killing that he's trying to get across here? I mean, he does say killing, and yes, but we can take it in a different way and also mean by beating or bullying or verbally or mentally abusing someone. It can still happen. If you mentally abuse someone in day in and day out by bullying them, by calling them names, you know, just passing by, or if you're in school when this happens, you call somebody names day in and day out, I mean, you don't know what that's doing to them. And it's what it's doing to you spiritually is killing you. Because the more you put detriment upon a person and put them down, it's potentially more, it could be harmful physically to you, it could be harmful in other ways. I mean, if nothing more, you feel bad about yourself because you're putting down people who, you know, who've done nothing wrong to you. But more than that, I mean, we see with recent things in the 90s and even now with the shootings in the schools. I mean, some of these kids were picked on. You know, they were mentally abused. And I'm not saying that's the reason, I'm not saying it's a good reason for doing things like that, but it does happen. And it's a sad, sad thing for it to happen, but it does happen. And in a physical sense, or even in a personal sense for you mentally and you spiritually, these are not good things to do. I mean, if you take pleasure in beating up somebody or bullying somebody or verbally belittling them in any way, and I understand there's joking in between friends and things like that, and that's different. Because it's understood that it's joking, and it's a little different than doing it to someone that you may not quite know, or someone that you're doing just to make yourself feel better. But that can have very big detriments on yourself when you get older. And even in a short-term sense, if that person decides that you're mean enough for them to harm in some physical way. Now, as I said, I understand that there is joking between friends, and there is a time for joking, though not, of course, joking, as we are told to stay away from that. But when one who calls themselves your friend abuses you in order to get something from you or to make themselves look better, it can certainly apply here. And we have to watch those things. Even between brother and sister, I know I know there's picking between brother and sister all the time, and in some ways it's joking, but sometimes it can get a little harsh. And it can get to a point where, it's not joking anymore. It actually hurts somebody's feelings, and you make them cry, and that's not good. I mean, because I know yourself, you feel worse just for doing it. And, if you don't apologize and you don't humble yourself, as it says, earlier in the scripture, to humble yourself to your neighbor, well, your sister's still your neighbor. So if you're gonna wrong her like that, you have to humble yourself in the same way as it says earlier. And go to her or him, your brother, or whoever, in the same way and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that, I realize I said it out of anger. And one, you may not incur your brother's wrath or your neighbor's wrath, and two, you won't incur God's wrath. And it may not be immediate, like the people of old, they just instantly die, or of Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, as we read, they're out. But it may happen. If you don't go and do that, there may be something down the line that you don't even think of that happens, and you thought, man, I didn't realize that was going to happen because I said that. And then you're like, wow. You just think, wow, I really shouldn't have done that. And if you've been spared up to that point, then there's still time for repentance. There's still time for you to say, I'm sorry, and to go to the Lord and to ask for forgiveness. Now, I see that I've gone a little bit past my time, so I will end there and say this. If you look with me in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 through 27, this is very wise instruction for all, especially the youth. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. This is in verse 23. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put deceivous speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the paths of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your full foot from evil. Now, in verse 26, it says ponder as opposed to watch. And I think that's a much better idea than to watch. I mean, watching is good. You keep your eyes on things and make sure that you're not going too evil and keeping your path straight and not going towards the left or the right. But to ponder things is more important than to watch. Because we must ponder every day what it is that we are doing. Are we laying in wait, as Solomon talks about, for someone to come and to deceive them or to harm them in some way? Are we speaking things that we should not, and not apologizing for them, not going humbly as a gazelle or a fowl, and humbling ourselves in that way, knowing that there's nothing, that we have no power to do anything but be humble before them and ask for their forgiveness and hope that they will forgive us? But even in forgiveness, we regain that spiritual. You know, we ask for forgiveness, and they don't have to give it to us in order for us to be forgiven. We just have to go and ask for it, and hope that they will, but still do that humbly. Or are we even listening to the words of the Lord? Are we in the word of the Lord? Are we following His words, as He points out in the Scriptures, to hear, to confess, to repent, and to be baptized? If we're not doing these things, we're not even walking in the fear of the Lord, as Solomon was saying. The fear of the Lord is the way to gain knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And that's what we need to do, is to fear the Lord and keep His commandments. And His commandments are to hear, to confess, to repent, to be baptized, and to live faithfully until the end. And if we are not doing that, we have not yet feared the Lord. And if we have feared the Lord and have done His commandments, but in some way, whether it be of a private or a public nature, gone against His word or His commandments, and I understand if it's a private nature, we should go to God in prayer and ask Him for forgiveness. But if it's of a public nature, we are required to let it be known that we're asking for forgiveness, to go humbly and to ask for forgiveness as we should, as Scriptures say. So if either of those things apply to anyone here today, I would ask that you come forth and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be baptized to arise into a new way and to walk in a new life and to be faithful until the end. And if you have done a public approach against the church, I implore, I think that's a much better word, to come forth and to make it right so that if we're all faithful, we can all join together in singing praises to God in heaven. So let us do so as we stand and sing number 385.